Well, I don't know about you, but I am excited for today. Anybody excited for today? Come on. It's Open Baptism Sunday. It's Super Bowl Sunday. It's going to be a fantastic day this morning. And so we're just excited that you are here to experience it with us. Welcome home and welcome to the family. It's also fun to see all the different jerseys out there, all the different teams that we, you know, cheer for, we identify with. And so it's kind of exciting to see all the things that are happening this morning. But I would bet that you have interacted with a person like this if you're a fan of any sport, right? We've all been around that fan who has all the gear. You know, they've got the jerseys, they've got the pants, the hats, the gloves, they got all the gear. And you see this person in their gear when their team is doing well, right? When their team is going to the playoffs and winning championships, right? You see this person with all their gear on, they are the biggest cheerleaders of their team. But the moment their team starts to go the wrong direction, the moment that their team starts to become dysfunctional, you don't see that gear anymore. In fact, you might see this person wearing some other team's gear. You know, we call those people, right? They're fair weather fans. And sports teams all across America have a lot of fair weather fans. Do you know who had a lot of fair weather fans? Jesus. Even to this day, right? People, we love to follow Jesus when it benefits us. We love to follow Jesus when he's pouring out his blessings. But the moment it gets difficult, the moment it gets hard, many people bail on Jesus. In fact, that's what happens in John chapter 6. You see, in John chapter 6, the setting of this story is Jesus is growing in popularity. People from village and town are going and chasing after Jesus. In our culture, we would call Jesus famous. People would come from miles to see Jesus heal, to hear him teach. And what's interesting about Jesus is every time the crowd got really big, Jesus would raise the ante. Jesus would call people to a higher calling, and that's exactly what he does in John chapter 6. He raises the bar of what it means to follow Jesus, and look what happens. Verse 66, it says, from this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. Right, the moment it got hard, the fair weather fans, they left. The moment that Jesus called them to something difficult, they bailed. And so Jesus in this moment where many people are walking away from him, he looks at his 12 disciples and he says this, you do not want to leave too, do you? Jesus asked his 12. And I love what Simon Peter said. He said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. We've made our decision, Jesus. We have come to believe and to know that you are the Holy One of God. So in a moment where all of, probably many of their friends are walking away from Jesus, the 12 disciples, Peter stands up and he says, no, no, God, we've made our decision. We will follow you. There's no turning back. And what I love about today through baptism is we get to see people make that declaration. That in a culture that is walking farther and farther away from God, not me, I've chosen to fully declare that I follow Jesus, there is no turning back. And what's so amazing and fascinating is we've been in this series over the last couple weeks, right? If you haven't been with us, it's been called The Search Within. It's been this series where we've really wrestled with questions all around who we are, our identity, questions like, you know, where did I come from and where do I belong and fit in? What's wrong with me and what's my purpose? And don't get me wrong, there is a time and a season for all of us to really search within for who we are and where we come from, all, answering all those questions. But here's the truth. At some point in your life, you've got to decide. At some point in your life, you have to decide who you are and more importantly, whose you are. And today we get to see people make that decision to publicly declare through baptism that they follow Jesus. They are a child of God and they want their church family to know it. So today we are going to celebrate that, but it's really important as we begin to prepare for the celebration, it's really important for us all to understand what we are celebrating. And so that leads us to a question, right? What is baptism? What is this thing that we are celebrating? And so before I walk through what baptism is, it's Super Bowl Sunday. And so I thought I'd give you a little imagery around baptism to check out.
I'm here in Buffalo, Highmark Stadium, the home of the Buffalo Bills and Bills Mafia. And if there was ever a fan base that really knows the sting of defeat, it's the Buffalo Bills. It's the Bills Mafia. You see, they know how it feels to be so close to the thing they want, and yet only a few inches away.
The wide check, that looked like a forward pass.
Tennessee is getting kicked while they're already down.
Looking to the end zone for the win! He caught it! Ball game! Chiefs to the championship game!
One of the biggest heartbreaks you'll ever see.
You see, Bill's Mafia knows high highs and crushing lows. They've been through a lot as a fan base. They've struggled through difficult seasons. They've had dreams and hopes of a Super Bowl. And yet what's amazing about Bills Mafia is they keep coming back. They keep cheering on their team. They keep painting their faces, putting their jerseys and their gear on to be there for their team. Now, some people might ask why. It's because they have deep down in their hearts a hope and a belief that this year might be their year, that it might be exactly what they want, that this might be their moment. You see, Bills fans keep believing. They keep showing up. And isn't that what it means to be a true fan? Not to bail on your team when things go bad. It's the smell and the taste of a future Super Bowl that keeps hope alive. Well, today isn't just Super Bowl Sunday. It's Open Baptism Sunday, a day where we get to celebrate a greater hope that only Jesus can bring into our lives. You see, with football, it gives us a beautiful example of what baptism is. That when we put our jerseys on and we paint our faces, we are identifying with our team. Well, baptism is your identification with Jesus, what he did in your life through his cross and his resurrection. And it's you telling the world, I follow Jesus. There's no turning back. And yet for some of you, maybe you've pushed that decision off. For some of you, you've had every excuse not to, from your past, the fear of the future, or the doubts in your head. But today, I want to declare to you, in the middle of where Bill's Mafia goes crazy, that today can be your day. Today can be the day where you choose to follow Jesus and declare that to the world. Today can be the day where everything changes. The day you get baptized.
You know, say what you want about Bill's Mafia. One thing that I admire about their fan base is their loyalty, their commitment to their team, no matter what the season looks like. They keep showing up. They keep believing. They don't turn back. And today, we celebrate lives that have chosen to follow Jesus no matter the cost. no matter what the road he has paved for them. We celebrate ultimately what baptism is, right? Baptism is a public display of an inward change. You see, we do baptism publicly because it brings accountability. It's you in front of your church family saying, Jesus has changed my life. We celebrate it publicly, but what we're celebrating was what happened internally, right? Because baptism is a public display of an inward change. In fact, if you look up the word baptism in your Bible, right, it's the word baptizo. And what it ultimately means is it's a symbol of what has happened in that person's life. When they go into the water, right, this is why we do baptism the way we do. The word actually means to be dunked or immersed into water. And what it is symbolizing is that your old life, your sinful life is dying. It's been buried in the grave because of the cross. And through Christ's resurrection, you are being raised to new life in Jesus. He's changed your life. And when it comes to baptism, if you study the early church, you know what you would maybe never find? Is someone who followed Jesus and wasn't baptized. They went synonymous with one another. In fact, if you look at a story in the early church in Acts chapter 2, Peter is preaching to a crowd. And he's preaching the hope of Jesus, the cross and the resurrection. And this crowd is listening to his message. They're hearing the hope that Jesus can bring into people's lives. And they look at Peter and they say, Peter, what should we do? How do we respond to this message? And Peter looks at the crowd and he gives them two commands. Acts chapter 2, he says, repent and be baptized. Right? And the order of those two commands is significant. Because the first thing that happens is repentance, right? And I get it. Repentance is a churchy word. It simply means to be going one way and to do a 180. When you repent, what ultimately happens is this is the hope of the gospel, that I was a slave to my sin, caught, trapped in it. But when I meet Jesus, he helps me to repent, to walk away from my sin and walk into a different direction, the direction Jesus has for me. And the truth is we repent first, but once we repent, once we embrace the gospel, Peter says, you get baptized. You publicly declare that to your friends and your family. And so when it comes to baptism, there's two things that we need to know. The first thing is we need to know that baptism is a command from God, right? God calls us to this. And so here's what that means. If you're here today, and you follow Jesus, he's your forgiver and your leader, and you've made that decision and you haven't been baptized after that decision, you are currently living in disobedience to God. But good news, today you can change that. Today, you can walk in obedience to God. The second thing you have to understand about baptism is your personal declaration that Jesus has changed your life. It's your choice. It's not your mom or your dad's. It's not your grandma or your grandpa's. It's you deciding, I follow Jesus. He's my forgiver and my leader. And I want to publicly tell my church family that I'm following him, no turning back. And here's what we have to understand is there is nothing significant about this water. It's straight from the Genesee, yo. It used to be somewhat clean, but First Service took care of that. But can I tell you, it is warm. Praise the Lord, it is warm. And it's ready for you. But there is nothing special about this water. What's special is the choice that you make. It's special is that God offers his grace to us, and then when we embrace it, we can identify. We can put the jersey on that says no longer our name, but Christ's name. But what's amazing is if you go to the early church and you fast forward to the church today, for some reason, people wait and wait and wait to publicly declare Jesus. For some reason, we've come up with so many excuses to not declare Jesus in our life, and that's the complete opposite of the early church. In fact, there's this story of this Ethiopian man in Acts. And this Ethiopian man, much like us, we can relate to him. He's reading the Old Testament and he's struggling to understand it. And so Philip comes to him and he begins to explain the Old Testament to him, and he tells him the hope of Jesus, his cross and his resurrection. And in that moment, this Ethiopian man turns his life over to Jesus. He gives his life, he makes Jesus his forgiver and his leader. And what I love about this story is this Ethiopian man, he comes to Christ, and you can see in this desert terrain that he lives in, he is so zealous, so passionate just to find a body of water so he can be baptized. In fact, look what he says. He says, look, I found water. Here is water. And he says, what could stand in my way of me being baptized? There was nothing that would get in the way of this Ethiopian man from following in obedience to his Savior. But yet, can I ask you today, what is stopping you? What excuse have you come up with? What's getting in your way from walking in obedience to your Savior? You know, for many of us, maybe it's just a lack of clarity. Maybe you're here today and you're like, true, I'm interested, but I was baptized as a baby. Is baptism for me? And I would say, yes, it is. Because if you were baptized as a baby, that wasn't your choice. That was your parents' choice or your grandparents' choice. And so if you're here today and you were baptized as a baby, but you know Jesus as your personal Savior, you need to make that decision today to follow in obedience, because today can be your day. Or maybe you're here today and you're nervous, right? Like getting in front of a crowd, maybe you're a little introverted and you're like, true, I want to. I'm excited, but I'm terrified. I'm full of fear. And listen, I get that. I can empathize with that. But here's what I want to encourage you. In your faith journey, I believe at some point your faith has to triumph over your fear. And can I declare over you today, today can be that day. Or maybe you're here today and you're like, Drew, I want to get baptized. I just don't know if I'm old enough. Like, what does the Bible say about the age of baptism? Well, the truth is that the Bible doesn't give us an age that you have to cross the line over. There is one prerequisite to baptism. It is that you know Jesus as a personal Savior, that you have made the choice to follow Jesus. So whether you did that at the age of 10 or 20 or 50 or 80, if you've made that decision and you haven't been baptized after that decision, today is your day. Or maybe you're like, you know what? I am ready, Drew. You've convinced me. God's moving in my heart. Here's the reality, though. I didn't come prepared. I got great news. We've been preparing for you. And not only have we been preparing for you, we've been praying that God would move in your life today. We've had teams over all of our locations packing bags. And so we got everything you could possibly need, everything you need to get baptized in, everything you need to look pretty after your baptism. So you have no excuse, because today can be your day. Or maybe you're here today and you're saying, Drew, I'm interested, but I'm not sure I know Jesus. And here's the truth. That's the most important piece to baptism. It's walking in a relationship with Jesus. But here's what you need to know. Is that not, that's not some magical equation. At any point in your life, the Bible says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and you believe it in your heart, you will be saved. So in your seat right now, or with an interviewer later today, you can say in your heart, with your mouth, Jesus, I'm a sinner and I can't solve that problem. But you did. You did through your cross and your resurrection. And so today I'm confessing with my mouth that I believe you are Lord, Lord of my life, and I want you to change me, redeem me. And here's the good news. You can do it the early church way. You can get saved and baptized the same day, because today can be your day. Or lastly, maybe you're here today and you desperately do want to get baptized, but you feel unworthy. And you're terrified that if you get in that tank today because of your past, because of things that you've decided, you've chosen, that you regret, you're afraid that when you get in that tank today, when people see you in there, they'll say they don't deserve to be there. And here's what I want you to know today. One, none of us deserve the grace of Jesus. That's what makes it so sweet, that the God of the universe would give up his one and only son so that sinful people like me and you could know him, be redeemed from our sin. And here's what I know about this church family over all our locations. When you get in that tank today, we ain't gonna be thinking about your past. We're gonna be celebrating the future that Jesus has for you, because today can be your day.